Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today's guest is Nicole Albococo, PEO Consultant and Account Executive. Today's topic is about the advantages of a PEO. Welcome to our podcast, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
I want to reference that we had you on the podcast a few months ago and we talked about the basics of a PEO. What is it? Who might it be helpful for? And now I'd like to dig into those specific advantages of a PEO. It is the fourth quarter, and we certainly have a lot of employer groups that are looking at their current offering for health insurance, as well as the many other things employers have to deal with today, and thinking that PEO may be an option. So can you explain to me, first of all, from a timeline perspective, is it still a good time to look at PEOs? And then just talk a little bit about the types of things that need to be moved over into a PEO. And right now we're focusing on health insurance, but does it have to be health insurance, or what kinds of things are certainly a requirement for anyone moving to a PEO?
Those are great questions, Shelley. We certainly do still have time for a 1-1 effective date. If, in fact, employers are looking at considering a PEO for their businesses, in order to do that, generally looking at a 30 to 45 day implementation timeline. So as long as we would have quotes back in hand and contracts signed by the latest by December 1st, it still is a possibility to have a 1-1 effective date. That which subsequently leads me to explain that you don't necessarily always have to change on a January effective date. Groups could renew as is, and then subsequently, if they decide after the fact that they would like to consider a PEO, they can do that at any time of the year. So usually you only have to give medical carriers or ancillary carriers 30-day notice to end your contract with them. So if, in fact, this is an incredibly busy time of year, people have a lot of different projects going on in addition to renewing their medical or their ancillary, their other lines of insurance, if this is just too chaotic, you could definitely look at this later on down the road after the new year. And that also brings me to another topic where when you do move into a PEO, there's been a lot of misunderstanding that don't necessarily have to change your payroll provider when moving to a PEO, and that is not correct. When you do move to a PEO, the driving force of a PEO is the payroll function, because the PEO is responsible for the remittance of all the taxes, the FICA, FUTA, SUTA. So everything comes from the payroll functionality. And then from there, all the deductions, whether or not you're going to take the medical, the ancillary, the workers' comp. So I just want to be very clear on that when you do or you are looking at a PEO relationship, you do have to move your payroll to the PEO's payroll, and then everything else follows thereafter.
Well, thank you for explaining that, Nicole, and that brings another thing to mind for me. So there are a lot of responsibilities that the PEO would take on for you and a lot of trust that the employer is going to put with the PEO. Can you tell me a little bit about the things to look for in a PEO, and how does an employer know that they've got the right PEO for them?
That's another great question, Shelley, because it really is instrumental at the beginning to have as much information as possible to know why an employer would be looking or considering a PEO. Is it purely for medical cost savings? Is it for the technology? Is it for HR and compliance? Is it for COVID-related matters and guidance with respect to that? So there are a lot of different things that the individual PEOs have that differentiate themselves from one another. For all intents and purposes, PEOs really look and feel the same from the outside, but when you really dig deeper and peel back the onion, there are things that really differentiate them. Purely from a technology standpoint, some of the PEOs have built their own technology from the ground up. It's proprietary. They don't have a third-party vendor that feeds into their systems. So, you know, if it's really technology-driven, it's a very sophisticated type of company, maybe a life sciences, a biotech, or things like that, and they're really looking at very robust technology. You know, there are some PEOs that have that kind of stand out from the other PEOs. You know, other things that differentiate them is their certification. So if you're looking at a PEO, you should really look and see if they are CPEO certified by the IRS, because that brings with it, it's kind of like being FDIC insured by the banking industry. So you want to make sure that all the financials are in place and the different benefits that do come along with being certified by the IRS. And another certification that's very important in the PEO world, because let's be mindful, there's over 950 PEOs within the United States, and a very small percentage of those PEOs actually hold these certifications. They have to do a lot of different things behind the scenes in order to maintain these certifications and also to upkeep these certifications year after year. So those are very important things with regard to the certifications, what type of different technology, and then something is what medical carriers, because they all don't have the same medical carriers as their master carriers. Some of them offer Aetna, some of them offer United, some of them offer Empire Plan, some of them offer all three or even more medical carriers than that. So, you know, those are different things to look at when you're entertaining different PEOs to look at, as well as the choices, the plans, whether they have PPOs, the EPOs, if they have HSAs available, all the ancillary products that they do offer. Some of them offer an array of medical carriers, as well as dental, vision, life insurance, LTD, STD. So it's really important, you know, if those are really important things to you and carriers are really going to dictate which PEO you would like to consider, these are really good questions to ask up front before you go down the exercise of looking at a PEO. Another thing that really differentiates them is also their administrative fees. So there's about five components when you do go into a PEO that make up the cost. And obviously, first and foremost is the administrative fee. So that encumbers all of the things like HR compliance, benefit administration, HRIS, payroll, and all these different things under that particular silo. And then obviously you have your medical costs, you have your workers' comp, which is usually tied into EPLI insurance, which is employment practices liability insurance that protects the client from wrongful termination, sexual harassment suits. So they could use that as sort of guidance or things that happen within the workplace. Another huge line item usually is their SUI, their state unemployment taxes. So, you know, if a company does have a high turnover rate, a lot of seasonality, country clubs, local, you know, franchises, those are really great types of companies to look at when looking into a PEO, because when you go into the PEO relationship, you go under their state unemployment rate, so which is much more stabilized because of the amount of employees that are within and under the PEO umbrella. So, and to give you an example, something like an employer that has 20 employees, they might have two or three people that have left within the last year. That's really going to impact their state unemployment rate. So, but if you're in a PEO, and when you go into a PEO, you go into their tax ID number and say they have 300,000 people considered, which they're considered worksite employees. So that unemployment rate is really going to be mitigated within the PEO, and the economies of scale, that's where you really gain and realize all the advantages of when going into a PEO. And one final thing that really differentiates them, Shelley, is their customer service model, which is which is incredibly important, especially with the larger types of companies that do go into a PEO. Some of them do have a call center type of model, and then others have very, very hands-on type of teams of people that you are assigned once you become a member and on board with the PEO. That could range from human capital consultants, PEO, the payroll consultants, benefit consultants. Even some of them have attorneys at your disposal where they don't charge you additional hours, and that's incorporated into your administrative pay. So these are all really important things when, you know, looking at the PEO model.
Well, thank you for going through all those, and it certainly does give an employer a lot to think about and the types of issues that they have as an employer, the multitude of hats, if you will, that an owner employer would wear, especially related to COVID. We're now close to 2 years into all of the concerns we have to deal with for COVID, and it doesn't appear to be going away yet. And certainly with all the things that you talked about, it sounds like the PEO can help that employer. They can be a big advantage to take some of those things off of the employer's to-do list, if you will. So do they do things like, can they help an employer with workers' comp? Because certainly workers' comp and COVID have gone hand in hand. Are there things that a PEO can do that can help that employer to get things off of their to-do list?
That's really a great point, Shelley, because workers' comp, especially in the current COVID environment, has changed dramatically with regard to, you know, are you paying worker comp codes in, you know, a lot of people are working remotely now. So does that affect if somebody is working remotely and they're working, say, in New Jersey, but originally it was based on where the employer was located. So the PEO is really instrumental in giving them guidance and making sure that they're compliant and they're, you know, everything is coded properly, as well as anything COVID-related. The PEOs have, you know, entire divisions that are set up purely just to give guidance and support to any of their customers with regard to furloughs, COBRA, subsidies, anything that you could even remotely think about, COVID, that really, and in addition to not just the employer, but for brokers, if they do have a broker, this frees up a lot of time, like human capital, with regard to people spending time Googling, trying to go to outside counsel, going to their brokers, trying to find out answers to all these different various questions. So when you do go into a PEO relationship, like I said, they have an entire department and multiple departments that are set up with regard to any of the legalities, with regard to the employer rights, employee rights, and things of that nature.
Well, thank you for explaining that. And it sounds like the PEO can have most, if not all, of the answers for a lot of these employers, and it can be a very advantageous thing. It's just working with the right team to get the right information and to get moved to where you need. So just one last question for you again, and it's probably something that you talked about before, but from a timeline perspective, we can do this now or an employer can do it at a later time of the year. Can you just touch on what they need to know right now as we wrap up?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That is something that's a final segue to say that, you know, just to reiterate, it's not too late for a 1-1 effective date if, in fact, an employer or anybody would like to go through the exercise of looking into PEO proposals. It is very important to highlight there are certain requirements with regard to documentation, which is usually the biggest obstacle when getting a PEO quote. So a lot of PEOs do require the same information. So whoever you're going to contact with regard to maybe exploring the PEO model and finding out more about it is, if in fact you are going to go through that exercise, is to make sure that you have all the most up-to-date information, all the documents that you do require, and get that in complete package, and that will help with all the back and forth, and that will allow you to get a PEO proposal. Usually the turnaround time in getting a proposal with an entire package, complete package, is usually 7 to 10 days turnaround time. So, and like I said, additionally, if it's too late, people are just too busy, and it's kind of so hectic this time of year getting ready for 1-1, because most of the organizations do renew 1-1. You can definitely reach out to the person that would help facilitate you getting a PEO proposal. You can basically do that any time of the year.
So, well, Nicole, thank you so much for all of your information today and talking about the advantages of a PEO. I want to offer this legal information. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. So thank you again, Nicole. We hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, please contact your account manager or sales executive. Thank you very much.